Welcome to the Red Zone.
Like that, Josh?
I'm just, you know, caught off guard by that video, actually. What is it, anime or something?
It's Daft Punk, so it's bound to be a little bit weird all the time. That was a little bit of, like, a DJ slash opening theme song mix
for the
last show.
I have never heard of Daft Punk before today.
That's very impressively hard to do.
Continuing with the tradition of you teaching me music over the last 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Daft Punk is probably something that you should have at least heard of at this venture, at this point of your life.
Can't say I have.
That's too bad. Welcome to the Red Zone, everybody. Alex Leopold, Josh Miller, inside our CKCU studios. If you're just waking up and you're wondering what the weather is outside, it is cold. It's like 3 degrees dewiness cold, that kind of cold that you know here in Canada, the winter is just around the corner.
It's funny, we say winter's just around the corner, but it was just fall last week, but yeah, you're right.
Some seasons are long, some seasons are short. For anybody that doesn't know, this is our last show, thus the One More Time, Little Infusion by Daft Punk there. The last show on the Red Zone. We have tons of stuff that we have to get to.
Memories,
rants of a specific nature. Steve Oderkirk is calling us at 6:25. We've pretty much dubbed our Toronto bureau chief as a joke. Not as a joke on Steve's work, but as a joke on our far-reaching network here on the Red Zone. But he'll be joining us at 6:25, so we got plenty of rants to get to before that time. Where did you want to start? Did you want to start with the NFL and the replacement ref debacle being over, or did you want to start in the NHL?
I'm going to give you that decision since it's your last show.
We will start with the NFL. Yeah. And the regular refs finally got back into game action last night. Baltimore beat Cleveland 23-16.
Can we backtrack to what happened on Monday night?
A little bit.
Because I think you have to in order to properly explain what's been going on. Because what I don't understand is, and if you haven't heard about it, you must be living under a rock by now, because the Green Bay Packers got jobbed, I think, on Monday night.
Not just you think, everybody thinks. They did get jobbed.
Because here's what happened. We can't say that regular refs don't miss that call. We don't know that. We can't play what if. But because the replacement refs did miss it, all of a sudden, that fast track to getting that deal done, holy cow, came out of nowhere.
If anybody doesn't think that posturing isn't done by every commissioner of every major sports league, they're out. Well, to continue with what you were just saying, they're living under a rock. Because Roger Goodell comes out afterwards and he says, we're sorry. He says, we're sorry to the fans for having to put you through that. For having to put you through the best game in the world with subpar refs. But he also maintains, Josh, that at no point in time was this ever fast-tracked because of what happened on Monday night.
Well, you can't admit that.
You can't admit it, but does anybody buy it?
Of course not.
Not a single person.
But it's the same...
They might have been in talks for weeks, but I'm sure the phone lines were burning up nonstop after that game.
Well, you want to know how fast the phone lines were lighting up? It was like the Heidi Bowl in 67. Everybody calling NBC, wanting them to put the Raiders-Jets game back on when they left to go watch Heidi. the switchboard fried completely. They got so many calls. I guarantee you the same thing happened at the NFL office.
From what I've read and from all accounts that I've heard, over the next 5 years, the NFL is set to make $50 billion. And of that pot, before a deal was struck, Josh, the referees over that time wanted $50 million of those $50 billion. And I know that this is more money than any of us could ever hope to see, but in terms of what the NFL is making, $50 million is pennies. It is pennies. And it proves that what they wanted, and they said, oh, it wasn't about being greedy. Well, what is it about then?
Well, obviously you didn't care enough about the product of your sport to get this done, because the NFL tends to function with a belief that they're invincible. And I think they thought that this wasn't going to matter. And in a way it didn't, because the ratings didn't go down and nobody stayed home.
Nope.
You almost knew it was going to take one massive screw-up, and you hoped it wouldn't happen, but you knew it would take one to fast-track this, and that's what happened.
So how long until the honeymoon ends between the regular refs and the fans now? Because they got a standing ovation, but that's not going to last. That's not going to last.
Hey, look.
The regular refs are going to blow a call, too.
It's a human element. They're going to blow calls. But at least you know with these guys that this is their job, and they're not going to make questionable decisions. Like, because everybody talks about whether or not the play on Monday night should have been an interception. There was a pass interference call.
Offensive pass interference before the interception
missed before we ever got there. So they botched.
Although it would have been declined at that point too.
But they botched it twice, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then a third time because the call on the field was upheld.
Well, it should have never been ruled simultaneous possession on the field. That was the other mistake.
My favorite part is that you look at the two refs and they both made different hand signals right beside each other.
But that's one thing that wouldn't happen with regular officials.
And they were overmatched. They were over their head, and we can get back to regular football now. But it's always like the NFL. They're never short on storylines, Josh. They'll never ever be short
they
on storylines.
They create their own drama for sure.
And that's what it is. So who knows? We will wait approximately, give it a week before the honeymoon is over and this whole thing gets back in to full swing. Either way, though, that call worked out in my team's favor.
Yeah.
I mean, they're now 2-1 when they didn't expect. And hey, after the first half when Aaron Rodgers got sacked 8 times, everybody always points back to an original point where you could say, hey, you shouldn't have ever been in that position because you probably should have been up more than 12-7 at that point anyways. Regardless, Seahawks are off to a 2-1 start. And suddenly, that NFC West with 3 teams above 500 ain't looking so bad.
I don't think it's going to stick.
Well, you could say that about lots of divisions.
Because San Francisco stubbed their toe against Minnesota last week, which was a big surprise. Seattle, you know.
Well, let's not look backwards. Let's look forward to some of the games of the week. You got Carolina and Atlanta.
It's going to be close because of Cam, but I don't see him being enough to upend the way that Atlanta offense is playing, because they're on fire right now.
One of the few remaining undefeated teams. So you expect them to go 4-0.
Well, I picked them to win the NFC South. I'm picking them to go 4-0 as well.
San Fran versus the Jets.
Jets are a joke.
San Fran got upended last week against Minnesota of all teams. And they're leading that division now, the NFC North.
They're not going to... I don't see the Jets presenting any challenge to the 49ers, especially with Darrelle Revis out.
But you could have said that about the Vikings last week, too. I'm sure many people expected them to be going for 4-0 by now as well.
Yeah, but the Vikings are a better team, and that everybody on that team knows their role. The Jets don't look... They don't look defined. They don't know what their roles are. And that's going to get thrown into a loop even more with Revis out for the year. And by the way, Sanchez and Thibault, they bring in Thibault last week in the game against Miami. Next pass that Sanchez throws is an interception. You want to tell me that's not a guy hearing footsteps already?
Do you buy anything to the notion that some of the Jets players were putting a bounty out on Reggie Bush?
Football's a physical game. If you could take a guy out on a clean play, you go out and do it.
And if it's not, in the case of Reggie Bush?
Hits are going to happen. You go out, you hit a guy.
You don't care is what you're saying.
I'm just tired of all this bounty talk. Because this is something that's been manufactured by the media. Because that's been going on for years. You know, as a football player, your goal, you hit to hurt. And if a guy gets hurt, that's part of the football game. Every football player in the NFL knows that. And Reggie Bush is exactly the type of target that they're going to go after, because his entire career, he's always been afraid to run inside. Guys know that. They go after him. The Jets took him out.
Well, I agree to an extent about bounties being everywhere in football and it being overblown a little bit.
You don't have to be told, this is a guy we want to, you know, we want to put a hit on it. You don't have to be told that. If you have the mentality of wanting to be the best you can be, you know that already. Coach don't have to tell you that.
It's one of those things that you can never get out. You can never hope to purge the sport of that.
Football is a completely different mindset than anything else.
It's so violent of a sport that there's no way that you're going to teach guys to tackle differently. Guess what? Guys are stronger. Equipment is lighter. The guys are like human missiles now. There's no way to make them tackle lighter when you're running that fast to tackle safer.
And so
that's why it's always going to be a very murky line between what's a bounty.
And the NFL is not going to work as hard as people think to change it, because that's the hook. That's why people watch football. If you don't like violence, go play cards. Go play bingo. That's what the NFL tells you.
Tennessee versus Houston.
Houston just keeps rolling, don't they? Schaub gets dinged up last week. Lost a piece of his ear after that after that big wallop he took. Tennessee, I don't see any way Jake Locker outduels Matt Schaub.
So then Houston moves to 4-0 as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to 4-0.
Miami versus Arizona in Arizona. The last undefeated team.
The big toaster, right? Cobb is due to hit, you know, 3-0, unexpected. I think Arizona stubs their toe and Miami gets the upset. Close.
So two teams will remain undefeated at the end of
this week.
Two
teams will go to 4-0.
New Orleans versus Green Bay, which is undoubtedly the game of the week.
You know, it's funny, you say game of the week, but it's 0-3 against 1-2. Game of the week only because people love high-powered offense.
Exactly.
But...
And you take two of the last three Super Bowl winners.
To me, if Green Bay loses this game, you can write off their seat. Because New Orleans is already done. If Green Bay loses, they're going down with them. I think Green Bay's got to win that game. I think they'll respond after getting jobbed on Monday night. I don't see enough continuity from the Saints to challenge them. They don't look the same. There's too much change in that organization.
Giants versus Philly.
That's a big game. Look, and there's some rumblings already that Michael Vick playing for his job. I don't understand why, because you've only got a rookie quarterback in Nick Foles out of Arizona sitting behind him. I don't see how you go to him. If he wins, everybody stops talking about it. If they lose...
So do they win?
Throw fire on it. Giants would go to 0-2 in the division. I think Eli Manning is a more consistent quarterback, obviously, than Vic. I'm going to go with Eli on this one and take the Giants to win the game.
Chicago versus Dallas. The Monday Nighter.
Dallas needs a marquee win. Cutler is still, you know, infighting. I'm picking the Cowboys.
And that's the NFL scene for this week, everyone.
Can I say one thing about New England, too?
Go ahead.
First time in 9 years that they're below 500 this early in the year.
150 regular season games is how long it had been between them being under 500, which is one of the more impressive streaks in sports I have ever heard.
It goes to show you forget sometimes how consistent they've been in the last...
And how spoiled some teams and some fans get to be.
But that's when you start talking about Bill Belichick being one of the greatest coaches of all time. Because I don't care. Everybody talks about Brady. Okay, fine. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. They lost him and went 11-5 the year he injured his knee in the first game of the year. 11-5 without it. Of course, Belichick's one of the greatest coaches of all time. Come on.
Moving to the NHL, well, there are two things that we want to talk about here.
Well, first of all, talks resumed today.
And we will see where that gets us.
Probably, about 50 miles north of nowhere.
Darryl Cates and Wayne Gretzky were in Seattle to watch that Monday Night Football game. And a lot of people have taken this as, well, posturing, because they reportedly saw Key Arena, which I don't know why, because is it even outfitted for hockey?
Not yet.
No.
But there have been rumors that a new facility is going to be granted in the near future.
Which it was officially approved, but, yeah. But whenever you break ground, it's still a couple of years away.
But we've had officially approved buildings in that city before that haven't materialized.
Either way, the only thing I want to say on this topic is... that you know it's a lockout when, ... because this is a non-starter. This is a non-story if there is no lockout, Josh, because people need to give their heads a shake if they think that Wayne Gretzky, the guy that led Edmonton to 4 Stanley Cups, the most popular and well-known Edmonton Oiler of all time, is going to willingly be a pawn in Daryl Cates' chess game to go to Seattle and relocate Edmonton to Seattle. I think that eventually Seattle is going to get an NHL team, but it's not going to be the Edmonton Oilers.
Not with Wayne's help, anyway.
No. That's something that he would never sign up to do.
Because if he did that, he'd turn himself into a bigger villain than Peter Pocklington. And he's not going to do that.
And he's not going to willingly put himself in that position.
Because he would tarnish his entire name.
Exactly. But Darryl Cates wanted to make the people sweat a little bit because Edmonton's arena plants have stalled for the however many time this has been now.
2,226,000.
So he just wants to say, hey, you think that there's no way that we will leave the city. But if you push us, we will.
Hey, let me just say this. They may well leave the city, all right? But it's not going to be with Wayne Gretzky's help, I'll tell you that.
There's no way. No way. And people getting up in arms about this, like I said, they're just thirsty and they're hungry for a hockey
story. To talk about something.
Because the lease at Rexall Place has something in the neighborhood of 24 or less than 24 months left on it. So there is, you have to do something now. I understand that. And that's why Darryl Cates is trying to do this posturing. But people, they believe anything they read way too often.
Remember, you know
about relocation.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember when they put in the papers that Wayne was coming to the Leafs and everybody forgot what day it was?
Yep.
You know, April 1st, everybody took the hook. Gretzky's going to sign into... Oops. April Fools. That's what it reminds me of, because everybody believed that one, too.
What do the big networks do, Josh, if there is no hockey? What does TSN do? What does Sportsnet do? What does CBC do?
Well, first of all, CBC... first of all, they're probably going to have a strike of their own to offset the... Because that's what they did last time.
They are the network that is the most harmed by this because they have put all their eggs because they have lost They have lost the Blue Jays over the years. They have lost Raptors games over the years.
They've lost Olympics. Well, they just got them back, but they...
But they lost the CFL as well a couple of years ago. It's gotten to the point where all their eggs in their sports basket is in hockey. So the CBC is going to be the one to feel this the most. And coupled with the fact that they're just freshly coming off a $115 million budget cut over the next 3 years and already having to lay off and cancel shows and everything like that, what is this going to do to a network like the CBC? What do they do to fill their time? They said, oh, well, the last time they did more junior and AHL hockey, but in terms of the return that you can get on that from advertising revenue, it doesn't justify the production cost of it all.
Well, the CBC didn't put any junior games on last time. They didn't have the rights to it.
But several other networks did, and that's what I'm saying. You can't get the same return.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the CBC specifically. No. Okay.
So what do they do? What do any of the networks do?
Well, look, I mean, you're obviously going to feel it, but if you're TSN, you've got a regatta of programming that's big enough to...
You're in the best situation out of any of the three.
Because you've at least got something that you can put documentaries on. They've relaxed the rules now where you can put on sports-related Hollywood movies. They had Tin Cup on the other night on TSN. So... Yeah, of course they're going to feel it because hockey always brings in revenue. But the bottom line revenue is not going to collapse that much because people are still going to watch TSN for golf or football or basketball. You're just not going to get as big of an audience.
Do you see a kick in Raptors attendance on the upswing or television audiences on the upswing? I mean, the bottom line
is... If they didn't suck...
But even a little bit, there's going to be nothing.
I don't think so. I mean, why would... People want to put the money they're not investing into hockey, either watching it or going out to the building on a team that's just not good. They're not fun. Like, they're not even fun to watch.
But like you're saying that there are people, sports types are very stubborn people. They're going to be still flipping by TSN, or they're going to be flipping by Sportsnet, or they're going to be flipping by whatever, and they're going to see the Raptors on. And now that there is no more hockey, seemingly.
Yeah.
For the near future, if not this whole season, you're saying that other people aren't just going to tune in to the Raptors?
I don't think you'll see that. I don't think you'll see a noticeable shift. I really don't. It might go up a couple of points, but nothing significant.
It's interesting because you're going to have to see a lot of people start to stretch and reach now. You're going to have to see the big amounts of hockey guys that each network employ, you're going to have to see them start to do. There's going to be like 8 guys on the Sportsnet panel for junior hockey on Friday nights.
Eddie Olczyk's already doing horse races.
And what are they going to do? The programming relies on it so much. You can't start Hockey Central at noon because that's just going to be an hour-long program about CBA.
It's already on.
Exactly.
But
how are you going to go another 8 months?
Exactly. I'm already not watching it, but because I don't care.
At this point, it's gotten to...
Tell me when it's over.
Tell me when it's over. I don't need to read this stuff about the meetings today and whatnot. Just tell me when it's over. I don't need to know what Gary Bettman was wearing at his latest meeting and what he said about hockey-related revenue. Just tell me when it's over. And I think that a lot of sports fans have gotten to this point.
So you're right. I think a lot of people are just pissed, PO'd.
You may as well just commit to it at that point, Josh.
But yeah, I mean, but that goes to show you how they're all
feeling. Say it, that's what they are. People are pissed off.
Well, you know. But we will take a break. Steven Oderkirk on the other side. We hope. Stay tuned.
CKCU wants you and your song list. It's a fun part of radio. Do you make mixtapes and CDs for your friends? Do you wish your iPod list could be on the radio? If this is you and you're a Carleton student, enter the CKCU Mixtape Contest. Send us a list of 5 songs you want on your iPod. Then email that list to contest@ckcufm.com before October 1st. You can win a brand new iPad. The winning song list will also be aired live on CKCU 93.1 FM. The CKCU Mixtape Contest, only for Carleton students. Send us your song list, name, and student number to contest@ckcufm.com before October 1st. CKCU Mixtape Contest. Get more details at ckcufm.com. Brought to you by your community station, CKCU 93.1 FM.
Did you know that CKCU FM 93.1 is live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Or that CKCU is the largest listener-supported radio station in Ottawa-Carleton? You did? Well, did you know that CKCU has a Facebook page? Visit www.facebook.com/CKCUFM to see the latest photos and also see the status updates. Also, like us on Facebook. That's www.facebook.com/CKCUFM.
Desire's not there, the love is everything. All the time I'm just
what a
welcome back to the show, everybody. It is 6:28 in the morning.
Just about halfway through your last show. How do you feel?
Just about halfway through my last show.
How do you feel?
Josh was consoling me between breaks as I was weeping like a small child. And on the line this morning, we have Steve Oderkirk. Steve?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Excellent. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm honored that I was invited on for your very last show.
Well, that's how you should look at it. I mean, if we have had, we've had guests on every week of these last 4 weeks in September, and this has all been, you're the headlining act, Steve. We've had, everyone else is the opening band, and you're the headliner.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you had Jordan as my opener, and yeah, that's awesome.
That's right. You can't let the people down, though.
No.
You have to realize that. So a lot of people want to know at this point, because they're so jaded and they want to know, is TFC, is their season still even going on? I mean, what is happening with TFC at this point? I mean, they went winless through their first 8 million games and then they started to go on a more respectable streak. But I mean, where are we in the MLS season?
Well, there's 4 games left, but for me, it just feels like the season will never end. I really can't wait for the season to end and we can forget about it and start again. But, yeah, as you mentioned, they started off with the 9-game losing streak. But they've gone on to a further losing streak now. They're past 10 games now, winless. So it's just, I can't wait till it to be finished. But there is another game this weekend. I'll watch it either way.
Are they at the bottom, the absolute bottom of the table?
Yeah, and they're still finished there. They're several points behind the second best.
And, I mean, what does that mean for a team in Major League Soccer, Steve? I mean, yeah, you get a high draft pick, you get a high transfer. I mean, how does this process work, and is them finishing last any guarantee that they're going to get somebody good out of this?
Yeah, well, the good thing about North American soccer is you won't face relegation. In Europe, most often what happens is the bottom couple teams will move down to a second-tier league. So that doesn't happen here. That's good. But, however, yeah, we do get the first draft pick. The draft in the MLS is mostly college players, which the first five usually are players that will start on your team. So Toronto's guaranteed a player on their team next year. However, they also get money in what's called allocation money. So this is money given to the teams by the league to go out and buy players from overseas, Europe, South America, wherever, or also this allocation money can be used to pay off contract money on your team to lower those salary cap hits. So if you have a player with a big contract, you can use that allocation money so their salary doesn't count as much towards the cap. So there is reward for teams, not reward, I guess, but there's compensation for teams that finish last, and TFC will get those picks again this year, like they usually do.
So that's why MLSE likes to finish last. There's money involved. Now we know the answer. Thank you, Steve.
it's a weird system. It's a system not used in most other sports, but yeah, you actually get money for finishing last.
I guess there is a very small silver lining that there is no relegation in North American soccer, because Toronto FC would, I mean, all joking aside, they wouldn't be in MLS anymore by now. I mean, this is what, their sixth or seventh year of existence and no playoffs any of the years? I mean, they would have been relegated by now, right?
Yeah, I think if you do the bottom three of the league as relegation, I think they would have been relegated four times now. So it is pretty bad.
Now, when we talked to you earlier in the year, you were talking about they were doing relatively well in Champions League. How did they finish there?
They still have one more game left, and it's pretty much assumed they're out. There's a new format. It's a new tournament, so they're constantly changing the format. So this year, the tournament they're in, they're only paired up with two other teams, which means they have to finish first in their league. And on October 24th, they're in Mexico against Santos Laguna, the team they played earlier in March and lost to 6-2. So they have to beat this team by a couple goals in Mexico to move on to the next round. So it's assumed that they're going to be out of the tournament after that, but it hasn't happened yet.
What's going on the international side of things, Steve, with Team Canada and World Cup qualifiers? What is happening on that front?
They're still in the third stage of the qualifying. And on October 12th and October 16th, they're the last two games of this group. Canada right now is third place in their group, and they need to finish first or second to move on. And this Canada squad this year is highly regarded as the best one in at least the past decade. So we're very confident that Canada will move on, but they need to win these games, because there's three teams, essentially, who have the same points, but only two will move on. The first game in Toronto, they're playing against Cuba. Cuba has already been eliminated, and this is a game, a must-win game. It's a much weaker team, plus Toronto is home, and if you guys checked out Canada's last qualifier in Toronto, you saw the impact the crowd actually has. Canada's been loving the environment the Toronto fans has brought. So this is a must-win. But after that, they're going to travel down to Honduras. They're going to have to play in Central America. So they're going to have to deal with the same situations they dealt with in Panama, with the fans keeping them up all night at the hotels, the poor travel situations. And this is absolutely a must-win. It's assumed that Canada is going to beat Cuba, and it's going to go all down to what they get in a Honduras. If they win, they move on. If they lose, they're probably out. And when they move on to the next round, they will be in the last round before they qualify for Brazil. So it's very exciting. And
if they make it to the next round, then they have to win that group as well, or be one of the top two teams to qualify for the World Cup, or how does it work?
So the next round, there's six teams. They call it the hexagon. So there's six teams, and the top three automatically move on to the World Cup, and the fourth will have to play the winner of the Oceania qualifying. So most likely they'll play against a team like New Zealand, and the winner of that game will move on to Brazil. And the group is set up where you play each country home and away. So there'll be 10 games in total.
Huh. Well, it's a long shot, but it's still something to hold on for Canadian soccer fans, right?
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Well, it's good, because they need Canadian sports fans in general, especially something around the Toronto area, need something to tip their cap on.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and then I recommend anyone listening, if even if you're all the way up in Ottawa, you're up for a drive to check out
because the tickets Voyager. Are cheap, correct?
Yeah, if you want to go the Ticketmaster route, they're even cheap that way. But I would also suggest just going to the Voyager website. That's the Canadian supporter group, and you can get tickets on there for $20, no service charges, and you can sit wherever you want. If you're watching TV and you.